Browns win against the Eagles, but you'd sure love to have a better showing than 5-0. Eagles have their issues. I don't care about their issues, but I do care about the Browns, and the Browns' issues involve, did Tyrod Taylor hurt his left wrist, and did Denzel Ward hurt his back enough to keep them out of the season opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers? But, of course, the Urban Meyer story continues to bubble and fester and provide ample opportunity for questions on day two. And I have a lot of them, and a lot of people have asked me, could Ohio State have fired Urban with cause? He signed a big contract in April. We heard many times the narrative leading up to the announcement of the three-game suspension. Well, if they fire him, they're going to owe him $38 million. I don't know if they would have or wouldn't have. Perhaps our next guest will be able to shed some light on that. He is Samir Dhaman. He is the business litigation partner in charge of Corman, Jackson, and Kranz here locally. And Samir, thanks for coming on the show today.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. My first question to you is, as a guy who, you're an expert in contracts, right? You look at contracts. That's what you do for a living, correct?
That's what I do.
Okay, great. So now that Ohio State's made a decision on Urban Meyer, they've looked at the domestic violence stuff, they've looked at his answers in Chicago, and they've made a decision, three-game suspension. If additional reporting on this casts Ohio State in an unflattering light, and the Board of Trustees or Michael Drake, the president, or some power broker at OSU decides, boy, you know, we got to cut bait here. Can Ohio State do that and cite all the stuff that it's already ruled on? Or once they've ruled on that, that's it. They can't go back and readdress Urban's employment status for those things.
So there's a clause in Urban's contract that's titled waiver, which means, hey, if you didn't mind that I breached the contract before, then you can't later on change your mind. So the terms of Urban's contract are, unless OSU signs something in writing that says we waive your breach of the contract, like the honesty or the reporting, then they can still bring it up later.
Okay.
In other words, yeah, they could. That there would be some, but it's a close call, and there'd be some contentious litigation, I would think, over the specific language of that clause and whether or not the report and the suspension constitute a signed writing by Ohio State waiving the breaches.
Okay, so let's look into some of the issues here that some people cited. Did you feel, reading the investigative committee report, that Ohio State would have had a strong case to fire Urban Meyer for cause if they had made that decision and Urban had contested it in court? What would have been some of the pillars maybe that Ohio State would have made as its case being, you know, meritorious to fire him for cause?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could have gone either way. So there was two issues. One was the reporting, and then the other one was the honesty. And you can look at the contract, and there's 9 instances where either reporting or honesty are clauses in the contract. So that means that those were important to Ohio State and important to the contract. And the standards are very low for breaching those clauses. So I think that Ohio State could have found for cause termination for Urban Meyer. On the other hand, there's legitimate arguments, and they're made in the report, for not finding for cause. In addition to that, it would be tough for Ohio State to now argue that he can be fired for cause, because they've cited as support for their position to suspend him a report that says we don't think these were important breaches.
Yeah, and so I thought in the investigative report, Samir, every time they raise something, it could be seen as critical of Coach Meyer. You hear the comments in Chicago, blah, blah, blah. But they always, in my view, portrayed his behavior in the best possible light. They went out of their way to say he did not deliberately lie, that he might not have. I mean, I don't even know some of the stuff Mary Jo White said about he didn't portray the truth, but he didn't deliberately lie. I felt like the investigative report went out of its way to be supportive of Coach Meyer. Did you get that feeling too or not?
Yeah, I think that if you read the totality of of what happened in there, you know, like the deleting of text, the texting with Gene Smith the morning of and of the Big Ten Media Day, and Gene says, this is what you should say. Say, I knew about 09 and 15. And, you know, the circumstances surrounding that, I think that it would have been, without before this report, without the conclusions of Mary Jo, it would have been, Ohio State would have had the better case. Now, that being said, I mean, Urban, he's got some legitimate defenses. Like, for example, how can we tell what someone really knows in their mind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we, that's circumstantial, right? So he was fixated on the report. He was fixated on, I didn't know of an arrest. And so that would have been his defense to it. And that defense is even more further reinforced now that you've got the stamp of, you know, a very well-credentialed legal expert ruling on it.
Samir Dhaman is our guest. He's a business litigation partner in charge at Corman, Jackson, and Krantz here locally. And we're talking about the legal ramifications of the investigative report. And would Ohio State have had a case to fire Urban Meyer for cause? One of the questions Gene Smith, it seemed to me, Samir, couldn't wait to answer was the question about, did Urban Meyer tell you about Zach Smith's 2009 domestic violence incident in Florida when he hired him at OSU in 2012? And it wasn't asked, but I got the distinct feeling that Urban did not tell Gene not only about the 09 incident in 2012 when Zach was hired, but he didn't tell him about the 09 incident in 2015 when Gene and Urban were monitoring another domestic violence investigation in Powell. Would that have put Urban in a tough spot had the case gone to court?
Well, I think that goes to, you know, Urban's obligation to be honest. You know, and there's several sections in this contract, but I think you would say, look, you weren't being honest with me, you know, because honesty, it can go to you, you said something that's not true, or you didn't say something that was really important and you knew about. And so I think that could have been another instance where Ohio State could have argued, look, you breached the contract by not being forthcoming with material, relevant information.
Samir Dhaman is our guest. We'll wrap up with this one, Samir. As you read Urban's contract, not the investigation, but the contract, mm-hmm. is it written heavily advantageously toward Urban, or there was a notations made that there were things added to his contract in April about Title IX and commitments he has in Title IX. As you read Urban's contract generally, is it heavily favored, besides the money, but I mean in terms of compliance and all that stuff, is it pretty down the middle, or is it written heavily in favor of Urban?
I would say it's down the middle, if not in favor of Ohio State. The language, there's not a lot of like excuses for the coach, for Urban in this situation, to like get out of performance of a clause. And no, I wouldn't say it's in favor of Urban. It's down the middle, if not favorable to Ohio State, because the standards are so low. Like, for example, the reporting of any illegal activity or violation of any rule, it's very low. It's like any potential violation of any rule, law. I mean, it's like just you have to report anything that sounds suspicious, basically. That's a tough, I mean, that's a tough standard for a coach to comply with. So that I would say it's more in favor of Ohio State. One other thing that I think is notable is this case, like Jim O'Brien's case, would have gone to the court of claim, and this would not be a jury question.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not these breaches happen and whether they were what we call material or important breaches, that would have all been decided by a judge, not a bunch of our peers. And I think that a judge would now have a tough time going against Mary Jo's findings because they're legal peers and there's been this thorough investigation. So
yeah, but I don't know that she had any findings. That was the one thing that I thought was the weirdest thing about that report was they paid $500,000, they paid $1,600 an hour, and they put no recommendation at the end of the report about, we think so, given everything we got from examining emails, texts, interviewing 40 people multiple times. They never gave a recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, there's questions posed at the beginning, and the end doesn't say, and here's our answer to question one or two. There's in paragraphs 8 and 9 on page 21, there's in paragraph 8, it says, you know, as a result, Urban has cast doubt on his own honesty in a way that reflects adversely on him, the football program in Ohio State. So you could argue, look, that's their conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
They have concluded that he breached his honesty clause or the morality clause there. So, yeah, you could argue if you're Ohio State, no. Mary Jo found that we can fire him. We just chose to give him the suspension. And in terms of reporting, let me pause there. The deliberately lie thing, that is like, you know, on one hand, I haven't heard of that standard before. Lying is, or misstatements are knowingly saying something that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And they present both like outcomes, because they say he made a misstatement. Well, that's one of the standards in his contract is misrepresentation. So they say on one hand he made a misstatement, which I think is a synonym for misrepresentation. But then on the other, so you could say he breached his contract. But then on the other hand, they say he didn't deliberately lie, which sounds like a conclusion to me.
So they're all over the map. So essentially, it doesn't really tell us much. They you could see whatever you want to see in it. You could see in it.
I think that these types of reports are drafted like that for the decision maker, in this case, the Board of Trustees and President Drake, to have the option of finding one way or the other.
Samir, great stuff. Appreciate the perspective. Samir Dahman, business litigation partner at Corman Jackson and Krantz here locally. Thanks for your time this morning.
My pleasure.
There you go. All right. So legalese. Got a lot of legalese from the $1,600 an hour lawyer. And if you want to think they said Urban was untruthful, you can, but then they said he didn't deliberately lie, which that's interesting to me that he said he's never heard of that before, that a lie has to be deliberate, not just untruthful, but deliberate.